We're joined by number three, Joey Harrington checks in. Joey, great getting a chance to catch up. How's life treating you and your family these days?
Can't complain. Gotta finish up a little basketball here with the kids and heading into springtime. You know, it's just filled with optimism, right? That's the way you got to look at it as an Oregonian, is you know that sunshine's coming around here soon enough.
Hope springs eternal. I want to start with your foundation, which, of course, folks can check out online, HarringtonFamilyFoundation.org. Now 8 years old. I'm always curious what inspired you to begin such a substantial project like this, and kind of what's at the core of all the great work you do.
Yeah, so I actually started the foundation in 2002, so we're almost 20 years old with the actual foundation. But our current program, I call it the Community Quarterback Scholarship Program. That program itself we're 8 years in now, and we give college scholarships to any, I should say, post-secondary education, any university, community college, trade school. We give scholarships to graduating high school seniors from the state of Oregon to continue their education within the state of Oregon. And we give those scholarships based on community leadership and financial need rather than grades and test scores. I believe very strongly in I would say the personal connection, the investment people make in their communities. And, you know, my idea was looking to find these students that are so often overlooked by the traditional scholarships that focus on your grades and your test scores. And if you get a 4 point and a 1600 on your SATs, then all of a sudden you're perfect. But what happens is you overlook the people who are really passionate about something. Maybe somebody got a C in their high school English class because they were really passionate about social studies and social justice, and they want to make an impact in their community, but don't necessarily have the resources or the doors that are open to them. And so our program takes those students. We look, you know, literally search the entire state for those students, and then we connect them with mentors to help them through on their journey and help open those doors so that down the road, all of us who care so much about this state know that it's going to be taken care of and in good hands and run by people who truly care about this state and the well-being of the people who live here.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I got to do one memory lane trip because being from New York City, my wife and I were back visiting, like we have many times, July 2001. And, of course, we head into New York City. And above the Sbarro outside Madison Square Garden is a multi-story banner of you. Joey, when you think of that time, seeing that, and, of course, following up with that terrific season, what pops to mind?
I would probably say first just kind of the surreal nature of that time of my life. I mean, it was truly just this whirlwind of stuff that you really couldn't even make up. I mean, to be able to standing there in the corner of Madison Square Garden and looking at a poster of yourself, you know, wrapping the side of a building 10 stories tall. I mean, that truly is something that very few people in this world get to experience. And I got to experience it with my dad there with me. You know, I don't know. I mean, it on one hand, it seems like yesterday. And on another hand, it seems like a complete lifetime ago. But it was one of those things that I think, looking back on, I can appreciate and acknowledge and say, wow, that was really cool and a really special short time of life. And it influenced how I approach things going forward. But let's put this into context and say that that was an anomaly right there. I actually had a funny, years later, I was picking my wife up from, she's a nurse practitioner, and had a conference at a hotel there. And I was standing on the corner, and I was looking around. I was like, God, I feel really, I'm having that moment of deja vu. And I kind of did a 360. I was like, oh, yeah, there's Madison Square Garden. I look over, there's Sbarro's. I was like, oh, that's the building where I used to, you know. And the building had been finished, and I think it was, you know, apartments or condos or something now. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's where I used to hang.
I wonder if the poster added to the value of those apartment buildings.
I doubt it. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Talking with Joey Harrington. So to modern times, after Coach Cristobal left for Miami, and it was time to hire a new coach, and Marcus Ruben Drones, many of you former Ducks contacted Rob Mullins, and of course the reaction on social media is always so rational. I just saw it as some legendary Ducks concerned with the program that meant so much to each of them. So how did that all come to be, and what was the purpose?
Yeah, so how it came to be is Coach Cristobal had left, and he had left to go back to a place that was more, I don't say more important, but a place of significance to him. That was, you know, Coach Cristobal's exit was preceded by Willie Taggart, you know, after 1 year, just picking up and going back to his alma mater. And so as Ducks, especially a lot of us who had played, you know, you start making phone calls and saying, what the heck's going on here? You know, why do people keep leaving us for somewhere else, right? Why and we had the feeling that people weren't necessarily using us, but using the Oregon platform as a springboard to get to where they wanted to go, right?
Right.
And so I was encouraged, you know, by some people, and you know, I'll be honest, I stand behind everything that was in it. I was the one who wrote the letter. I was the one who, you know, I got you know, the group together and kind of said, hey, here's what I'm thinking of doing, and would you be on board with that? And every single one of them said yes. Some of them said absolutely. I don't need to, you know, I don't even need to see what you're writing. Some of them said, hey, just shoot me your draft so I can approve it. But all of them were on board because the idea, and you know, if you took the time to read it, was look, we want our program. We want this program to mean something to our new coach. Not just the job, right? Because the job is flashy and the job is desirable. And the job was used by the two previous coaches to get to where they want to go. But we want this program to mean something, right? And so when you're looking at it, and our point to Rob was, when you're looking at the direction you want to go next, keeping this context in mind, it's important to understand who you are, right? I'm a very big believer in knowing yourself before you move on and do something out there, right? Or I should say that knowing yourself is extremely helpful in knowing how you want to operate in life, right? So who are we? Who are we as an Oregon football program? We're a program, and this is part that, you know, one of the things that people were up in arms about, I said, we're not a blue blood program. We're a newcomer. And everybody says, oh, what do you mean we're not a blue blood? And I asked them, like, what does blue blood mean? Well, and nobody had a good answer. It was, oh, well, we're important or that we're at the top. No. Blue blood means royal blood. We're not a college football royalty. We don't have a national championship. We're not Alabama. We're not USC with six Heismans and 11 national championships. That's not us. Who we are is the young upstart. We're the program that broke through, let's call it 25 years ago. And over the course of the last two plus decades, we've scrapped and we've climbed and then we exploded, right? But we did it in a way that was outside the box. It was putting up a 10-story billboard in New York. It was the uniforms. It was changing the game, changing the way offensive football is played. It was the facilities and bringing in the, you know, Ferrari leather and, you know, and all the stuff that, you know, that you know, has set off this college football arms race in terms of facilities. We broke the mold, right? So when you're looking, our point to Rob was, when you're looking for this new coach, we obviously didn't find the right person over the last two searches. And in those two searches, we were looking for somebody different because we'd had a 30-year history of coaching staffs that got us up to a certain point. And I said this in the letter. I was like, look, this letter isn't to harp on the past. You know, that ship has sailed. We all understand that. But it's rather to say, let's take a look at what got us there. And let's not simply eliminate that from the conversation. Can we find somebody that bridges those two things? Can we find somebody that acknowledges what it took to get this program to where it is now, and then find and then figure out what it takes to get it over the top, so that we truly are in the category of those schools with national championships, right? Because that's what we all want.
Sure.
at the end. So the point was, let's not just jump at the flashiest thing we can find, but rather and let's be honest too, like, and acknowledge the programs that have tried to do that in the past and what it has done to them. You know, you look at programs like Michigan and Nebraska, Tennessee, right, who all, you know, went chasing, you know, got rid of Lloyd Carr and Frank Solich and Phil Fulmer, you know, in the search of something shiny and bigger and better, because, you know, that's what we deserve. And what happened is they lost who they were, right? They completely lost the identity of what those programs were. And for Michigan, it resulted in 2 decades of irrelevance. You know, and for, you know, Nebraska, Tennessee, I mean, I think you could throw Notre Dame into that mix for a little while. You know, Nebraska and Tennessee, you're looking at, you know, they're still irrelevant.
Yeah, they're not even on the map anymore.
Exactly. And that was the point. Like, let's not go looking for somebody shiny and flashy because we're trying to fit in with somebody else. We're not, you know, because we want to so badly to be, you know, into this category of blue buds, and then lose what it is that got us there in the first place, right? And that was our point. And I think the controversy came because, frankly, you know, because of the timing that the letter got released or leaked, or however you want to put it, because it happened to coincide with Dan Lanning showing up that day in Eugene for the first time. And then the clickbait headline that was, you know, Oregon players are worried about lost identity. It's, you know, like, no, we're not worried about our lost identity. Like, that's the whole point. Like, we haven't lost our identity. This is who we are. Let's recognize and understand who we are and find the right guy that truly wants to be here and build this program, rather than use it as a springboard to get somewhere else. And somebody who recognizes who we are as a program and how to best use that to get to to where it is that we want to go. And I think they absolutely nailed it in Dan Lanning. He is, in his short time here, he and his staff have truly combined, in my opinion, the, I would say, acknowledging and embracing the, we'll call it quirks, the, you know, the eccentric nature of the program, kind of the, you know, the fact that we're not like a, you know, what am I looking for? A robotic Alabama, you know, like,
right,
we're different, right? We're the ones who are trying to break up the party, but at the same time, approaching it from the acknowledgement, like, college football has changed, right? And so we can't just be the old, you know, the old line of coaches, but rather we have to change the way we recruit. You know, there were good things that Willie and Mario did. One of those things was expanding the way we recruit. And I think Dan so far has done a great job of understanding what this program is about, yeah, and still acknowledging the future of college football and how we can combine those two to still stay true to who we are, but get us the result that I think everybody wants.